Everybody, this is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today, as our subject, we're going to talk about the ingratitude of the pastors. And as you can see, I made sure I put a little note here so that you can see, it's just in case you can't hear me. But for those who are viewing and those who are watching, you can see that the scripture message is taken from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. And for reference, you can also visit Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14. But we're talking about the ingratitude of the pastors. And the context in which we're discussing this comes from Jeremiah chapter 2, in which God sort of rhetorically is asking the people, when have I misled you? When have I not fed you? When have I not shown you the way? But it was up to the leaders of the people, who were the pastors and the prophets, it was up to them to tell the people where you're going wrong. So the goal of it is, of course, to make sure to avoid God's anger. So before we get to the point where God is finally fed up with us, with all the inequities that exist in our capitalism system, with all of the inequities that exist between the rich, there's no middle anymore, so it's the rich and the poor. People are working for people making trillions of dollars, but they can't take their kid to the doctor, or they can't buy food, or they can't take themselves to the health clinic, but the people whom they work for are getting richer. Before God gets really mad with us, because you have to look at it from the context that a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years. So while you and I exist today in 2024, the people who existed in 1500s, 1600s, the 1700s, a day unto the Lord being like 1,000 years, to God, it's still just one day. Your entire lifespan is less than a day because you don't live for 1,000 years. None of us do. So do you see what I mean? So when God is looking at this, he's like, the iniquity is rising up. And who is he going to hold accountable? Well, that's what we're going to find out. So we're going straight to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 5 to 9 to obtain the message and what exactly was the rhetoric that God used when he spoke this message to the prophet Jeremiah. As you know, God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament. So the prophets got the message and were relied on to take it to the kings who were the leaders. The Levites, who were the priests, were in the temple. And it was their job to instruct the people and to give the people the messaging from God. That's how it worked. So then you will find that the first church were the Jews. Amen. Nobody wanted to see that, but it is what it is. So that was how he delivered the message. So we're going to go right into it. But first, let me tell you a little bit about who I am, because you're sitting here watching me and listening to me. My name is Harriet Kamek. I'm an author. I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization through which we provide relief services to men and women, to women and girls in our community. So go to, for those who are men who find themselves homeless, reach out to us and we'll be able to direct you to spaces. But we are a women-based advocacy group for women. And we provide relief services to women who have found themselves who needing help and who need help from fleeing intimate partner violence and fleeing human and sex trafficking. So go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com, for more information about what we do. You can also find more information about me on Google and look out for my next book coming out, After the Fire. It's the sequel to Through the Fire, in which we talk a lot about the healing processes that happen after you've been traumatized. Amen? Amen. I know that trauma might sound like everybody's talking about it today, but we do have to confront the issues that affect us and impact our lives. Amen? Amen. So go with me, if you can, to Jeremiah chapter 2. And this morning, I'm reading from my Bible because technology failed me. Jeremiah chapter 2, the New King James Version, and we're reading from verses 5. So turn with me to Jeremiah 2, verses 5 to 9. And here is what the Word of God says in verse number 5 of Jeremiah chapter 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me?" And by the way, this is the New King James Version. "What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, have become idolaters, Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelled? I brought you into a beautiful country, this is verse 7, to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests, the pastors, did not say, where is the Lord? And those who made the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Thus says the Lord. Do you hear how it started in verse number 5? Thus says the Lord. In verse 9 it concludes, therefore I will bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight. May you find purpose this day in the name of Jesus. May God open up his window to heaven and pour you out a blessing that you have not room enough to receive. May the Lord God shine his face upon you. May he bless you with peace and victory. May he bless you with healing and overcoming adversity. May he bless you with wisdom to know the path to take. May the Lord God Almighty dwell with you and your children's children now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So the context of this then, as we read it, you see where God is rhetorically asking us, where was I? Am I the same God who helped you? Am I the same God who brought you out? Am I the same God who took you from a land of drought and brought you into a land of plenty? I want to say this because I feel like we're missing the point sometimes. And I know that especially as a minority, we face systemic issues. There are systemic barriers that prevent us from advancing. Barriers that white Americans may not experience. Yes? So there are systemic barriers. We call them systemic because they're nationwide. They're system wide. So whether you're in New York or whether you're in Florida or whether you're in Texas or whether you're in Oklahoma, you face the same barriers nationwide, system wide. That's why it's systemic. So Black Americans, African Americans, people of color, we face certain issues. But here's what God is saying. Despite all of that, despite all the issues that you face that are systemic wide, did I not bring you out of the land where you're coming from? If you look behind you, if our ancestors were to look behind them, they would see that where they're coming from was not so great. So God brought us here to a land of plenty. It is our job now to put our shoulders to the tool and work it despite the systemic barriers. It can be done. Why? I'm going to insert myself into the story. I am an immigrant. I was not born in America. My folks were not born in America either. We all had to come here, and despite the systemic barriers, despite the racism, the inequities, the colorism, and all the isms, we still had to work to make a way. Now, it cost us something because we end up dying earlier because we had to work triple, four times harder to make it. But at the same time, our children did not go hungry. So what God is saying is, so hold on. Is it me who brought the iniquity? Now, what is iniquity? It's wickedness. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to challenge all of us, black, white, yellow, green, red, whatever color of the diaspora we are. I'm going to command you that if you find yourself, especially for white Americans who are saying, well, it's not working for me, I want to ask you this question. What have you done with what you've been given? We live in the land of plenty. Are we working it? What do? We pick up the drugs. We won't put it down. We pick up methamphetamine like it's a friend. We think we are entitled to our dysfunction. So we pick up all the drugs. When it's not crack cocaine, it's cocaine, it's marijuana. And we smoke and we drink all to our abandon because we think we're entitled to it. We think not about the effect on our bodies and what it is doing to the next generation. So our children are watching us squander away their investments, squander away their future, because we're too busy paying attention to what we shouldn't be paying attention to. We don't do what God says. So he's asking us. And this is a question that we have to come to the realization that as adults, we have to give accountability. I find that that A word, accountability, is not something in our vocabulary today. It's not something in our vernacular today. Nobody wants to talk about it. No one, not even my producer sitting behind the camera, thought this was going to be the best thing for me to say this morning. But I find that I have to talk about the general ingratitude, especially of the pastors. You just heard me read the scripture right there in verse number 7. It says, where were the leaders of the people? Where were the pastors? Where were they when they were supposed to do what? They were supposed to what? In the original King James Version, the word refers to pastors there. What were you supposed to do? You were supposed to tell the people, don't abandon your children. So for all the men out there, right, who feel that they have a right and they have a right to their dysfunction. They have a right to be a man. And being a man means that I have a wife and I have a spare. And you don't think about what you are doing to your wife and the trauma to your children and that other family that you have created. In fact, some of you go from one house to the other and have multiple children, and nobody sees these children as people. You traumatize the next generation and leave them with issues that they can't even fix. They themselves turn around and start having children, and the trauma just repeats its cycle from one generation to the other. Then you sit down and feel you're entitled to drinking. You end up in the hospital and you think everyone should come and visit you. Where were the preachers to tell us 40 years ago and 50 years ago, thus saith the Lord? This scripture I just read in Jeremiah chapter 2 is not new. It's always been there. You can say, well, maybe it wasn't the season for it. There's always the season for the word of God. The season was, it should have been said 40 years ago and 50 years ago. The pastor should have been at the front of it, telling us to do what? Don't abandon your children. Don't leave the children out. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Put the crack pipe down. Instead, what were we busy doing? Having fun because we're entitled to it. So now we have the next generation who feel like they're entitled to having their fun. They must have their fun, and it's my life and I must live it. And all that is doing is perpetuating it and going on and on. And God is saying, what happened? The pastors took our money and they told us that we must tithe. This is how they framed it. They told us that according to Malachi 3 and 8, we had to tithe to be blessed. Isn't that what they told us? Yeah, nod your head, because it's true. Which of us have been in a church in the last 40 years and heard that message? Did you ever hear a message like this that says, put the crack pipe down, put the methamphetamine down, put the meth down, stop cooking meth in your trailer out there? Did they tell you that? Did they not say, put your shoulder to the plow? Did they say that? To go and farm that land. If all you have is that land, go farm it and make some money off it to provide for the next generation. They didn't tell us that. What they told us is, bring all of your tithes into the storehouse. Which storehouse? Their storehouse. So the pastors became the ringleaders of the difficulties that we experienced, because they were collecting the money and they weren't giving us the instruction. They weren't giving us the reproof. They were not telling us that there is coming a time for accountability. Whether I like it or not, I am just as engrafted into this, because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The difference between me and you is that the just, we have to live by faith. So I came to this country escaping violence and came here thinking, well, it's America, so it should be better. I did not take into account the systemic barriers that would exist simply because of the color of my skin, simply because I sound different than you sound. I don't sound like I came from Iowa or Idaho or Ohio or even Michigan. So those systemic barriers and the colorism and the classism and all the other isms prevented me from going forward. But you know what I didn't do? I listened to what God said and I plowed ahead. Anyway, I published 3 books before I could get a green card. Amen. I published 3 books, started broadcast, went on national radio, became a syndicated radio show host while working, while raising 2 children, because they beat me up and left me. And I decided I was not going to look at the negatives. I'm in the land of plenty Sea, and I'm going to put my shoulder to the wheel and ask God to part the Red Sea and help me. And I tried my best and started the Exodus Foundation to help women like myself. You see where I'm coming from? God is saying, I brought you out of the droughts and the pits. Some of you in my audience know exactly what that means. Some of you probably grew up in the pits and grew up in places in America that were dry, where they couldn't even plant anymore. And he took you into the cities where there was plenty. And you've lived there now for 50 years and you've prospered. And then you forgot about God. You put other gods before us. We put the gods of entertainment. We put the gods of pornography and sex. That's sex. We put the gods of sports before us. We put the gods of self before us. And we put the god of politics and money before us. You see our gods? Those are our gods in America. We put them all before the one God, the true God, the creator of heaven and earth. So now we say God doesn't even exist. Oh, there is no such thing as God. I can do what I want. It's my body. When it is all said and done and it is all over, one day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years. And even if it is 1,000 years before, God is going to bring us into judgment and he's going to ask. And everyone has to stand before God and say, I have to stand before God and say, did I not tell you to go tell the people? Did I not tell you and you chose not to? That's what some of you pastors are going to hear. Did God not tell you to go say it, but you chose not to? Instead of telling the people that if you don't put down that crack pipe, if you don't stop that smoking, it's going to destroy your family and you will have no one to take care of you in your old age and you will traumatize the next generation. Instead of telling the people that, you tell them to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You never told a man, stop hitting your wife. Don't abuse your children. Get up as a man and go out there and find a way to put two cans and rub them together until you make pennies and a dime and a thing else fall out. Instead, you left it alone and left the onus on us. And so we women have to go out and go make it because the children are going to come to us and tell us they're hungry. So we have to find the food to go give them. Some of you women are just as guilty because some of you are mothers, but instead of taking care of your children, you left your children with Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, and Jack. And then the children end up being broken because people bent them over and destroyed the children. Because your love of money, your love of alcohol, your love of drugs, and your love of sex was greater than the love of your children. It's the same thing with men. Do you see how we wrecked our generations? So here we are. We live in the land of plenty. We can go make it regardless. Yes, there are systemic barriers. No doubt about it. There are systemic barriers in every country. There's classism, racism, and every kind of ism, having lived and experienced them all. I sit here today. I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm praying it into existence. But while I wait on the millions to come, I'm putting my hand to the plow and I still sent my kids to college. They took the money. Nobody left me with anything. They didn't write a check to me and say, here, go take it to do it. So what are you doing with what you have? Don't tell me you're sitting on Jeff Bezos to write you a check to share his trillions with you. That's going to work. No, where right are you? You can send your kids to school. Put down the cocaine. Put down the crack. Put down your love of sex and your love of a good time. Put down the alcohol. Put the guns down. And go send your kids to school. Talk to them and try to change it around. Now, are they all going to get it? I don't know. Because I have 2 children. One gets it. The other one doesn't. But at least they, you know what? None of them cannot say, I didn't try. That's what God is saying. You gave it to them. So as for you pastors, you are the ones who are supposed to say the things I am saying. You should have said it 40, 50 years ago. You are letting people die and go to hell because you won't tell them the truth. But what you do and are busy doing is power bottoming for rappers, being important and going to events to hang out with the people so you can be seen on the 6 o'clock news. That's what's important to you. And having these big edifices that are empty because nobody is going into the church now because nobody wants to have nothing to do with you all because you all were power bottoming for people. And then when it wasn't bad enough, you still held the house of God like it's a nightclub. And we're going to have a nightclub instead of a watch night service. We're going to pretend like we're singing drip, drip, drip like we're in a club. Seriously. Pastors, you are the ringleaders of the ingratitude. You are the ones because God blessed you. Instead of you now taking your role as the pastor and come and give us the instruction, you are the priest. You are supposed to tell us, never let God come and ask you, what have I done to you? Don't let God ever ask you that. Because you have to sit back. If all of us sit back one day and start adding it up, you know what we're going to realize? In the totality of life, there were more times when God was with us than more times when he was against us, than when he was absent. That's what I found out. I found out no matter what I said, there were times in my life. I remember, I'm going to tell you this honestly, with all transparency. I was married to an abusive man. I really tried. I didn't want to be a statistic because my mother was not married to my father. So because of that, I did not want to be a statistic and perpetuate it to the next generation. So I stayed in this wicked marriage, even though I chose the wrong man. So when it was all said and done, I accepted my responsibility that I chose to marry the wrong person. All right. So while I was in the marriage is winding down because, as you and I know from real life, marriages don't just end overnight. They've been building up for a few years, right? And we are all nodding our heads. I'm laying on a bed in my bedroom in Florida. I lived in Deltona, Florida at the time. And I was laying on my bed and I was trying to wake up and I saw my life. I thought that day was the day when he was going to kill me. I literally saw my life flash before my eyes. And I saw some terrible, horrible things that had happened to me in my childhood and how just at the moment when it was going to finish happening, God would pull me out. And that's when I said, that was you? That was you, God? And then I gave me what? Hope to know that that situation I was in where he was beating me incessantly, that it would come to an end. I remember getting up off the bed and saying to myself, well, if you were with me all along, then you're not going to let me perish in this. You are going to deliver me. And that, my friends, is the story of God. That's how we're supposed to be. Now, here we are. We are conscious of our choices. We're conscious now that we have done things to harm our bodies. Some of the sickness and disease that come to us, we bring it on ourselves. It's one thing for us to go work for wicked employers and they stress us out. But it's another thing for us to go home and claim in the name of coping and in the name of I have my rights to go pick up liquor and drink. That's not going to help. To go pick up drugs to go numb out the pain. That's not going to help. How about pick up the phone to call a therapist? That will start helping. And you don't need any drugs from them to write a prescription for you to get drugs. What you need is to go down on your knees and say, oh God, help me out of this one. I need to talk to somebody, but I don't want any drugs to help me. Because taking drugs numbs me. Taking drugs make me unaware and teaches my children to go take those same pills and then their lives are messed up. Do you realize how messed up the next generation is right now? Do you realize what we have done to our children and our children's children? Do you realize that they don't have any ways of coping healthily with life issues? Some of the stuff that happens is life. Because we were not all born Carnegies and what's the other people? Rockefellers and Vanderbilts. We were not born rich. So some of the stuff that happened as a result of life. Your parents were trying their best. But where they messed up was the cocaine and the crack that you put on the children that you won't put down. You won't put down the liquor. You won't put down the sex. You glorify those things. Those are your gods that you lift up before the true God. And now the rest of us are jacked up. And we are dare to say that we are leaving this generation provided for? How? As we drive through rural America, we see where meth has ruined communities. Yes, crystal meth has ruined communities. People have taken drugs. They have no teeth. They're so broken. Then we throw opioids into people's communities. Like the pharmaceutical companies were running ads. And now we have left a whole generation broken. Same thing in the black community. You gave them crack instead of pointing the way. And this was the job of the pastor. So it's one thing that society creates crime. And the society tells us that it has standards and you have to go figure it out because America doesn't give you a way to go to college. It's not free education. Nothing is free here. So it was up to the pastors to say, despite the systemic racism, despite the systemic inequities, because it's racism if you are a person of color, but it's inequities if you are white. You see what I'm saying? So instead of the pastor saying, despite all of that, you need to go and get yourselves educated as a way to get out. The pastors were supposed to say, tear down the gods of sex, drugs, money, and alcohol. Instead, one of the things I have noticed is that the drug distributors, man, they have a system of distribution that is unparalleled. I'm like, that's supply chain right there. Why not go to college and get a degree in supply chain? Okay, so you don't want to go to a four-year college. Okay, go to the two-year college. Education will help you. It will change your perspective. It will help you understand some of the things you're going through, and it helps you to find a way. It teaches discipline. I look at so many of these young people, and they are the way they are because the previous generation was too hung up on having a good time. Nobody thought about these children. They were just people that came as a result of you having had a good time. And now they're here. Where is the provision? Who is sitting them down and talking to them? Even if they don't listen today, they will be 30 one day and 39 one day, and they will listen then. That's what I am saying. The pastors, because guess who the pastors were? The pastors were the people who listened to God, or we hoped they were hearing from God. So it was their job to come and tell us that if God promised you, he's going to take you up, because we have the what? We have the witness. These people who lived, they left their story behind for us, so that we know that if God said he's going to help you, he's going to help you. Here's what I don't want us to find out. That God comes and asks you, did I not do this for you? Did he not? So as for me, I put my hands to the plow. I do everything I can with what I've been given. So God doesn't come and ask me, did I not bring you to the land to help you to do it? So what I do, I get up and I go find a way with all the inequities, with all the systemic issues. And as for you, my white brothers and sisters, and you're sitting there with all the economic inequalities, still get up, put the meth down, put the crack down, put the cocaine down, put the alcohol down, put down all of that, and start putting your hands to the plow and see how this will change. My name is Harriet Kamak. This is Down to Earth. Be blessed.